Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's time for the show that brings the magic right to your speakers. Ears up!
Hey, what's up, everybody? Ears up. We are back in the studio, in the virtual studio here, to talk a little bit about my second favorite treat. And, you know, we're all basically big churro heads over here. But I love a good turkey leg. I don't eat them often because it is sort of an adventure to eat like that in front of people.
Well, and it's also kind of weird because it's sort of enough for a whole meal, but then your whole meal is one thing.
And it's just meat.
And it's just meat, and it's very salty, and it's kind of expensive. So you really have to share it with a few people, but you can only share it with very close people because of the way that you eat it. It's a very unique treat.
It really is, man. I wonder if it's the best value dinner wise, like meal wise. You know what I mean? Because what is it, like $8-9
No, it's like 15.
It was 11 7 years ago. So
that was the first time you complained about it.
All right, fair enough.
Because I think you were like, I thought this was $8.
Yeah. Well, see, there you go. I still thought it was $8.
At least you're consistent.
Yeah, I live in the past. Okay, that's what I do. But I like a turkey leg. I wish that there wasn't any cholesterol or in there or anything. I would eat more.
I'd eat more of everything if it didn't have cholesterol and calories and sugar and
ingredients. Yeah.
Yeah.
But Eric is going to take us through the history of the turkey leg, which sounds weird
a little
until you think about the turkey legs just weren't there in the park one day.
And where are all these turkeys coming from?
See, exactly. And I've also heard all the rumors where it's like, well, you know, they're genetically modified ostriches, actually. And that's why they're so darn big. Because everything has to be, you know, there's a reason for it, apparently.
Yeah.
So Eric's going to take us through that. We're going to talk a little bit to Bev about her recent trip to Disneyland. And Eric, you were just there recently with Terrence, right?
No, we is now late December.
Oh, got moved.
If it's late December now, then yes, Terrence and I were just at Disneyland.
I mean, we can call it late December if that means you have something to say about it.
No, they're going to December. They're whatever.
I thought you already went and you're going back. All right.
No. I met up with Terrence in my homeland of Carrardo.
Nice.
All right. Well, then never mind, man. You can't talk about it. But Bev will talk a little bit about her trip.
That story is done.
Yeah. You did go to Disneyland, right, Bev? I'm not.
I did.
Crazy.
I was there last week.
Somebody went with Terrence, but you didn't go. You didn't with Terrence. I don't know what's going on.
I went with Abby.
Who?
Fair.
I don't know what's going on. Anyway, and then we have a segment from Taryn. We have another Who Dat, which means I have to find music for that. So that'll be fun. And then we got some news. There's actually some pretty good. Get it all out, Bev.
I'm sorry, I can't.
Right in the microphone. Just get it.
I didn't yawn into the microphone. I was off.
I heard it. Anyway,
heard it. It's fine.
I didn't feel it. that was a big one.
you almost got me on that one.
Oh, man. We're all just going to go, I'm sort of fighting one now, too, Bev. Thanks. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Going through this thing with Alice, or at least not so much anymore, but where she would like fake yawn. And it's like, you know, she's faking on him because it's like she'll do 8 of them in a row and it's just very exaggerated. And then she's looking at you for a reaction. Stop fake yawning. And then I start doing it back to her. And then it makes me actually yawn. If I start fake yawning, then I'm actually yawning. So we're both going,
no, there's science behind that.
As soon as you said the word
is real.
Yeah. As soon as you said the word yawn, I felt the need to yawn again.
Right.
I want to yawn right now.
I think we all should. Let's take a yawn break.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
I was trying this whole time to fight it. See, that was not. This is not good.
No, this is therapy.
Yeah,
Taryn. Embrace it.
Yeah, that second one. That second one was real. And we're refreshed. We're ready to go. Speaking of Alice, we got to go to her school today for to like sit in on the class.
To observe.
And it was weird because we've never really gotten a straight answer out of her as to what they actually do in class. And it's like, you know, Montessori or whatever. And it's like, it sounds really, I don't know, high education or like, you know, there's a lot of research or there's a lot of intention with what they do. But we go there and she only goes for the second half of the class and they just like sort of Gatling gun information at them while they're sitting on this blue line. And it's like, here are the days of the week. And then are we same? We same in Spanish now, too. And then here's the day. And then we say the thing. And then we, and it's like, I couldn't even keep up. And I'm very smart.
Yeah.
And so I wonder if it's just a bunch of like, let's cover them in a, I'm going to put a blanket on them, a blanket of information. Where so they're just so shell shocked they can't move and fart around.
Were they just acting for like that specific day? Like
no, I don't.
Most of the week, they're like,
so.
Here's a block. Yeah. Put it on the other one.
And I don't want to hear a word out of you.
I don't think so, because when she does tell us about school, she's like, we're like, what did you learn? She goes, the days of the week. And I'm like, well, yeah, but you told us that yesterday. Like, what did you learn today? The days of the week. And I'm like, okay, whatever. I guess she's just not going to tell us. But I think that's literally what they learn every day. And I'm like,
they're just repetitive, like over and over. Yeah.
Now it's in like Sichuan.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Well, and
that's not a language.
No, it's not. But I knew what you were talking about. You're talking about Mandarin.
It's a chicken.
Mandarin.
Yeah. Yes. Mandarin is a chicken. Sichuan is a chicken too.
I apologize. Yeah. I've offended so many people already in this episode.
That's right. Yeah, it was.
It was also kind of boring.
It's kind of, well, yeah, it was boring. We knew everything. We were the smart kids in the class for once.
I can understand why recess is her favorite subject.
Oh, yeah. It took me immediately back to being in elementary school or even high school. Where I'm just like, I can't wait to get outside. I can't wait for this to be over.
See, I wasn't that kid, and I felt that way in this class. So I don't know. I don't know if I loved it.
Yeah.
It was kind of weird.
No, it was odd, man. It was odd.
Great.
I had an idea, and you guys derailed me twice. I'm upset about
it. Yes, it's our fault.
I'm going to cry about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever. Who cares? It left. But there was.
Do you just need me to talk for a little while?
No, it's fine. It's fine. But there was a kid in there. So it's like preschool and kindergarten, sort of in one like room or session or whatever. And there was a kid in there that like definitely looked like he should smell like weed.
Oh yeah.
Like he just had this sort of bright braided ponytail, a puffer jacket, a black puffer jacket, baggy jeans that were below his butt. Black shoes that were a little too big. Yeah. And you know, his hair like slicked back with a ponytail. And I'm just like, this kid, he needs to smell like Marlboro Lights and weed. Like I get that from him, at least in middle school. Yeah. He's going to be where you're going to go, you know, get your first joint from.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
But I felt bad for the kid too, because he was like in this circle time or the square time, I guess they were on this blue line square thing. Anyway, the kid kept trying, like, scooting closer to the teacher.
Yeah.
And at that moment, I was like, oh, man, this is where all of this starts. This is where all of that were, like, the troublemaker kid, because he was sort of making trouble, or at least not making trouble, but not paying attention as well. Oh. And he started scooting more toward the teacher, and then he would look up at the teacher, and he was more engaged. But the teacher sort of was moving him back to where he was. And it's like, I can see this kid's, the rest of his scholastic career. And I feel very bad for everybody running detention. Like, it's just going to be bad. He clearly just wants some one-on-one time, a little bit more love, a little bit more attention, a little bit more.
Yeah.
I just felt bad for the kid, man. It's weird to see that. It was weird to see that happen. I also felt bullied. Yeah. I was like, this kid's going to pick on me. I can't get near this child. He's going to beat me up.
Steal your lunch money,
dude. Yeah, I know, exactly. But it was, you know, it was cool. It was neat to see, and
it was cool to see that kid.
It was cool to see that kid.
He was super cool.
Yeah,
it's a trip, because when the kids have to go to the bathroom, like there's no door.
There's no door.
They just go, and
where we're sitting, it's just the bathroom's right there. So
you're just like not looking, yeah. But you can hear it.
Well, they just have a wall with like a.
Yeah.
There's like no door.
There's no door, but it's like a rectangular room with no door. But so it has walls. It's just an empty doorway, which makes sense, I guess. But like, you know, I'm sitting there and I didn't even know anyone was in there. And I'm like looking around the room, like whatever. And then I look up and I just see this kid's ass. He pulled his pants all the way down and he's just standing there peeing. And it's like, wow.
Yeah.
This is communal.
Yeah. You're describing Wrigley Field.
It was
any Chicagoans.
Man, it was wild. I hate school. I hated being there for the most part. I liked seeing Alice engage and stuff, but like it reminded me I was a terrible student, hated school, never wanted to go back. Still never want to go back. I don't want to even learn anything about it.
Were you triggered?
Kind of.
It's funny. Sorry about that. I was like triggered the other way. I was like, they're not doing enough. The school is not school.
Where is all but it's the not. School?
Where's the learning?
Yeah. Oh, that was the thing I was going to say. So every month they learn about a new composer.
Oh.
And I say learn, they're exposed to it, but it's in that like shotgun effect of here's all the information in the first half an hour. The composer information is buried in there, so she's not like retaining anything. But we asked
she's
her,
not learning about Schubert?
Well, the other one was Vivaldi was last month. And this month we go, hey, so what's the composer? Mozart. I'm like, oh, Mozart? No, Mozart. No, Alice, it's Mozart. There's like a T, like the Z, and it sort of sounds the same. It's a Austrian, you know, whatever. That doesn't sound right, Daddy. That doesn't sound right to me. Well, okay. Well, my teacher says Mozart. And so I like look it up and I play it for her. And, you know, it says like Mozart and it's pronounced properly. I go, see, she's like, no, my teacher says Mozart. I'm like, well, she has like an accent. So she probably. So we're there in class and the teacher goes, okay, now we're going to learn about our composer. What's his name? Mozart. And I'm like, oh, God.
Wow. God. Wait until they get to Michael Jack Cheese. the latest Disney composer star.
Beverly, what are you doing?
I can't get comfortable.
You should mute your microphone because it sounds like it's snowing.
I'm sorry. I didn't know this.
You can't hear that? You can't hear your microphone? Really? Oh my God. If you heard your microphone, it would be a whole different world for you.
You hate me so much right now.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Kinda, yeah. It's like, why is there static going on? Oh, it's just Bev moving her blanket 12 feet away.
I'm going to send you my audio separately, Jason. Just saying.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's all right. It's all right. Don't worry about it. Just be
still
on mute most of the time.
Fair.
No, Bev, you sound great.
Yeah, you sound great. All right, Taryn, you ready?
Oh, me? Sure.
Me? Sure. Hold on a second.
That's not me.
Uh-oh.
I should have just kept it going, honestly.
Who dat?
Who's that? Who's that? Who's that?
Who's that?
Who's that?
Who's that?
Who's that?
Who's that?
Who's
that?
All right, Taryn, who's that?
All right. Well, usually for this segment, I focus on a sort of like background character and I see if I can find anything out about them. But this time I'm making a slight digression. There is a character in the Disney universe who has always confused me. When I see him on the screen or in a book, I have so many questions and Disney never seems to want to answer any of them. So I set out to find out what I could about Goofy's son.
Oh, Max.
Max Goof.
Max Million, I think is his name,
Max
right?
Max Million. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, see, there you go. That's all you need to know.
Well,
he's a cool hipster dude and that's it.
So it's believed by many that Max Goof first appeared in the 1951 short Fathers Are People.
Oh, many are saying this.
And in this film, this was a short, and it was under the name Goofy Jr. And in this short, Jr. is born. And we watch as a sharply dressed Goofy copes with fatherhood. At one point, he even wakes in the middle of the night to make a bottle, but instead makes himself a martini and falls asleep in the kitchen.
Yep.
So
absolutely. Let's go, Goofy.
Sounds like the 50s.
Yeah.
Oddly, in this short, our silly friend is never referred to as Goofy. Not once. His name is George. And his unnamed wife calls out to him to help out with the new baby throughout. And so much of this is strange to me because first off, Goofy's wearing a suit. And he has a normal voice. It's not that gurgly kind of Goofy voice.
Mm-hmm.
And second, his name is George, not Goofy. And third, he has a wife. Now, I'm having a hard time believing that this is Goofy at all.
Right.
To me, this is like saying Oswald is the original Mickey Mouse. He's not. Maybe he was the first inspiration for what we now know is Mickey Mouse, but no one would say Oswald is Mickey. That's just not what would happen.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I think they're two completely different characters. So for this reason, George from 1951 is not Goofy. Thus, Goofy Jr. is not Max Goof. They are different people. So then who's Max Goof?
It wouldn't even be Goofy Jr. Then it'd be George Jr.
Right.
Right.
It's so confusing.
Yeah.
And so this is all my theory. This is not probably true, but this is my theory.
Okay.
So then who is Max? Max is actually first introduced as an 11 and a half year old boy in the TV show Goof Troop. This makes more sense. This is when he moves in with his father, Goofy. Okay. Max is a typical middle school aged boy whose antics often revolve around trying to gain popularity or trying to find an easy way out of doing things.
Same.
Things like that. While he's often embarrassed by his father's actions, they ultimately have a close relationship.
Not same.
So why is Max interesting? Max is the only Disney character who actually grows in age. So if we keep with my theory that Max is not, in fact, Goofy Jr., then we meet Max at age 11. Then he's seen in a Christmas special. I forget the name of it, and I did not write it down, but we watch it all the time. Anyway.
Scrooged?
No.
Christmas Vacation?
No. Mm. So he's in it's a Mickey Christmas, like, conglomeration of a bunch of different shorts, and he's in one of them.
Oh, is it Mickey's Christmas?
No.
No.
And in this, he's a young boy dealing with his kind of wavering belief in Santa Claus.
Okay.
Then in a Goofy movie, Max is a high school aged teenager with an innate fear of becoming like his father. Here we see him even with a love interest and a much more teenagery angst against his, you know, silly dad. Then next we see him as a high school graduate in an extremely goofy movie. And then finally we see Max as a young adult in both House of Mouse, where he's employed as a parking valet, and Mickey's Twice Upon a Christmas, where he prepares to bring his girlfriend home to meet his dad, Goofy.
So the first one was Once Upon a Christmas. Then.
Yes. Right. So we actually watch him grow up and progress as a character, which is not something you see in any other character that I could think of, except maybe.
It's very slow, but.
It is slow. Yes.
It's interesting, though.
Yeah. So what's also interesting about Max is that he is the son of a main Disney character. Now, Mickey and Minnie and Donald and Daisy, they all have nephews and nieces, but no children of their own. Goofy, however, is different. Goofy has a child. So the least responsible and most...
But no significant other.
Right. He's the craziest character, and this guy procreated, but how?
Wife has shown up in various things, though, but she's never fully depicted. You generally just see what looks like human legs. Like, she's like Jessica Rabbit sitting in a chair that's facing away from you, right?
That is only if we're talking about Junior, Goofy Junior.
Oh.
If we're talking about just Max, my version, which is just starting at Goof Troop, there is no mom.
Hmm. Okay.
There is no mom. So basically, my questions are, who is Max's mom? Is Goofy married? Is he widowed? What is happening here? Right. So there are a few theories out there. One, and this goes back to the 1950s, but one is that Mrs. Goofy cheated on Goofy with the milkman in the 1950s cartoon, and Goofy left her. Now, this theory is here because in one of the shorts.
Yeah. Okay.
Goofy takes the day off of work to help out his wife. And when the milkman arrives, the milkman drops. He opens the door. The milkman drops the milk down and gives Goofy a big old kiss on the lips. Because he assumed it was the wife. Because the wife is always home. So that sparked this theory that Mrs. Goofy cheated on Goofy. However, I don't even believe that's the same. Those are the same characters. So another, for me, more plausible theory is that she's simply dead. And since Goofy has, because in these, Goofy has full custody of Max. There's never once a mention of a motherly figure at all in any of the movies that have my version of Max in it. So it's safe to assume that there is no mother involved at all. And in fact, if you dive down too deep into these theories, you find Goofy to be an actually really tragic character whose entire family has likely died. And who now relies solely on his son, Max, to provide him with the safety and security that you expect to receive from family. And this puts a lot of pressure on Max. And if you ask me, that's probably created a pretty codependent relationship between the two, which is probably why they have such a contentious relationship.
But okay.
Uh-huh. What rabbit hole did you go down?
Wow.
So you, okay. So Max went, he moved in with Goofy at age 11, mm-hmm. but where was he before? So Goofy and his wife had to have been divorced at the time.
Exactly.
Yeah. There's literally, they yeah. don't ever mention it. They look through scrapbooks. He never asks. No questions ever arise from Max. Nobody says anything about mommy.
I don't like it.
It's weird. And Disney has actually spoken about it. Like, it was on an FAQ for a while, and I was going to pull it up, but it was very boring. But basically, they're like, it's a cartoon. We don't really know either, but maybe it will be discussed on a future something.
Like, what a stupid answer.
It was a dumb answer, which is why I didn't.
Well, I mean, I guess, like, where did Huey, Dewey, and Louie come from? That means that Donald has a brother.
Mm-hmm. But I think that that's all mentioned somewhere at some point.
Is it?
Yeah.
No, his brother or sister are never mentioned.
No, it is a sister. Actually, I did read that today. It's a sister. And she dies.
Has
a name. Her name is like Della something. They call her Della.
Duck, I would imagine.
Her name was Dumbella.
Dumbella.
They did. And they shortened it to Della because that sounded stupid. So, like, there is an actual story there.
I'm going to call you Dumbella now.
But Max's mom
I've got to rewatch the entirety of both series of DuckTales now.
There you go. See, there's no information about Max's mom or Goofy's significant other or whatever.
Chip, get on that. We need a Disney Plus, a full rundown Disney Plus series about Max's history. We need a full background, please.
All right. So where else have you seen him? Max is in a ton of stuff. He's in a ton of films, a ton of TV shows. He's not a main character.
Oh, so he's working. He's a working actor. He's a working actor. All right.
But you would definitely recognize him from Goof Troop or a Goofy movie. And he also has cameos in a lot of Disney video games and park attractions like Fantasmic and most of the parades, like a handful of the parades, a couple handfuls. So
a couple handfuls.
So who's behind the character? In the 1950s cartoon, Goofy Jr. was played by Bobby Driscoll, who played Johnny in Song of the South. And he was both the voice and the close up model for 1953's Peter Pan. So that's interesting.
That is interesting.
Oh, that's so, OK.
This is my favorite.
So he's a svelte individual.
He is, and small and young.
Okay. Yes.
So later on in Goof Troop, the real Max Goofy was voiced by actress Dana Hill.
Okay.
Now, you may recognize her as the voice of Buddy in The Adventures of Gummy Bears or Tank Muddlefoot in Darkwing Duck. Mm. But more notably, she is Audrey Griswold in National Lampoon's European Vacation.
Oh, okay.
Now, if you look her up, you will know exactly who I'm talking about. Dana Hill.
Yeah.
In European Vacation. I think I've seen that once and I didn't care about it.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh, it's so good. They're also.
Oh, yeah. But didn't she? Yeah.
So finally, James Marsden is the current voice of Max. And he's one of those faces where you go. Jason Marsden.
Oh, OK. Sorry. Of all the names James to get Marsden, wrong.
Like, I was like, I knew that one.
And they are not related. But they are best friends, oddly. Jason Marsden is the current voice of Max. And he's one of those faces where you go, oh, he's that guy from that show. You know, that guy. He played the cat, Thackeray Binks, in Jason's favorite movie, Hocus Pocus.
Yeah.
He had recurring roles on Full House, Boy Meets World, and Step by Step. So everybody who grew up during those totally recognizes this guy. And he's been
a late 90s king.
Totally. And he's been a voice actor on a handful of other Disney animated films and lots of DC comic inspired animated series and video games. So in conclusion, Max, while not totally unfamiliar in the Disney universe, has a relatively unknown history and potentially tragic backstory. And what I learned from researching Max is that he and Goofy probably need a lot of therapy.
Who's that?
Now I'm like looking up this Dana Hill broad.
Who's that?
Why?
I don't know, because he told me to. She was on an episode of Magnum PI, which is makes her more recognizable to me. She was on an episode of The Fall Guy. She was, Jetsons the movie.
Nothing else to say about that.
Darkwing Duck, Tom and Jerry Kids. You know, good for her, man. Doing some stuff. Couple of CBS afternoon specials. You know, the Flintstone Kids Just Say No special. She was a character called Stony. Gee, what were they talking about? I wonder. I don't know. Very cool, man. I love it. You know, I was doing some reminiscing, looking back at our numbers. People really liked our Halloween special, our story, our Halloween stories thing. And I liked it too. I had a good time, man.
Good.
Yeah. Bev, thank you very much for all your work. Yes, Bev, go ahead, please.
Dana Hill also is dead.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh no.
Okay. Thanks. Yeah. All right.
To bring it are,
yeah.
You're welcome. I just Googled that. I was like, oh.
Speaking of Halloween episodes, yeah.
Well, I couldn't find any recent pictures, and I was like, she looks the same.
Yeah.
Because she gone.
Because she gone. Well, you stepped on my intro. I was going to bring on a psychic. We're going to do a reading.
Sorry.
But Eric, you wanted to, you want to express your feelings a little bit about the Halloween show. Imagine how much fun it was, and thanking me profusely for allowing you to do it.
Oh my goodness! You know what? I paid you so much to be on this show.
Yeah, you did. The Bitcoin came through just fine.
Okay, that's great.
It's not worth less though, but.
I mean, Elon delivered it to you himself, didn't he?
Yeah. Yeah. Right? It was buried in his hair plugs. I had to pull one out.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. Anyway, I just wanted to say, I'm glad that the show went well. I was really looking forward to it. But as somebody who has been in healthcare for like 20 years.
Yeah.
I just wanted to kind of put this on other people to say that you can advocate for yourself. I was not in a great place during that episode.
Mm.
As multiple people mentioned during the episode, I seemed like I might have been drunk.
Yeah.
And having had one drink before and one drink after the episode, I can say I was not, but I was on drugs.
I was high. Yeah, we mentioned it on the Secret Show, but we didn't bring it for you know, the other listening audience.
And that was it. You know, it's tough. Like, I get that healthcare in the U.S. is not easy.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to kind of use my own example to inspire people to push themselves a bit more. Because during the course of this whole thing, basically, I had an MRI today, literally today, finally, after 10 weeks of pain. Wow. I finally had an MRI done. And
on your butt, because you have a torn butt still.
I don't.
Oh,
no, I don't.
All right.
I have a fairly severe disc.
Protrusion.
Protrusion.
Rupture.
That's the word.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Ooh.
Yeah. Yikes. So this is going to take a lot more physical therapy, and it's going to take some injections, and hopefully I won't end up in surgery. And a lot of this comes from, I mean, thankfully I have a brother-in-law who's actually like, he's an orthopedic surgical PA. So he's helped me through this, and I have not leaned on him much before now because it's been like, no, let's let healthcare take its thing. My point to the listeners is essentially don't just let healthcare happen. If you are in pain, if you are in emotional pain, please seek out, seek out resources. There are things that are out there. If you need emotional therapy, if you need mental, if you need to talk to somebody, there are media out there that, like BetterHelp.com, that is covered under a lot of different insurance plans. Push your insurance plan, find out what your benefits are and use those benefits. Push things harder than I did, because I was like, let's just see how this plays out. That was wrong. As I talked to my brother today, he's saying, yeah, you probably should have found out about this like 6 weeks ago, and it would have been a different prognosis.
Wow.
And that's it. Like I've spent weeks, I've spent months basically like doped up on muscle relaxers that have screwed up my memory. I keep trying different things. They mess with my memory. They mess with my ability to do my work.
Wow.
They mess with my ability to write and create. And these are things that I love doing. I haven't been able to do the things that I've loved doing. And I've kind of gotten by in some cases.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Last episode. Well, maybe, I guess it
you
was
did.
Okay.
You did the thing.
Mm-hmm. I did the thing. Great. I'm glad you thought that I did the thing.
Well, it happened. I heard it.
Right.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
So this is no shade on any of like my healthcare providers. This is on me, and this is on you as listeners. Please, if you like the job that pays me money,
right?
I work in a job that shouldn't exist. We work to basically get your insurance to pay for things like chemotherapy, rheumatoid arthritis, injections, all of these expensive specialty therapies that cost thousands of dollars a month, hundreds of thousands of dollars a month. Mm-hmm. Like my job is to run a team of more than 50 people who do this. They work with your insurance company in this health system that I work in. And their job is to find ways to make this affordable for you as a person. My job shouldn't exist. Their job shouldn't exist.
Right.
Healthcare is crazy. So this is not anti-healthcare in the US. This is not anti- Maybe it's a little anti-insurance, but
we shouldn't need it. Is I think what you're saying. We need the infrastructure.
Exactly. Yeah. So the whole point is for me to say to you, I'm in a much better place today, literally right now,
yeah,
because I have finally gotten the care that I need, and my pain levels have gone from like 9, where I'm like shaking constantly, down to like a reasonable level where like, oh, okay, well, my back kind of hurts today. That's great.
Yeah.
If you need help, please seek out that help. Advocate for yourself. If you as a patient complain, if you push against your insurance company, you're the one who pays these bills.
Yeah.
That's the biggest thing. I have a team that do this for patients. But you know what really gets the trick done? What gets the job done is the people who pay premiums, the people who are paying into insurance, you as a patient.
Yeah.
This is a big deal. If your medications are too expensive, talk to your provider, look for alternatives. If your wait times are too long, please ask what alternatives there are. I guarantee there are other places you can go, other people that you can see that might get you in a little bit quicker. Don't accept the like quick and easy, here's a painkiller, let's just, you know, get you feeling better for right now. Mm-hmm. Seek out the care that you actually need and advocate for yourself. I'm challenging our listeners and people in general, and this is something that I believe in every day, but now that I've gone through this process myself, I believe in it even more. I'm very passionate about this. Please, if you need help, seek it out and push. Call. Don't be rude. Don't be rude to people. Don't be rude to schedulers.
Right.
Don't be rude to insurance people. Don't be rude to your pharmacy. Don't be rude to your providers. But push. There's a way to push respectfully and do so and make yourself, you're not a victim, you're a patient.
So you didn't,
you have the power.
There you go. So you didn't have a torn tendon. It was just a slipped disc the entire time.
That was it. I've had so many different diagnoses. And now that I finally had an MRI today,
man,
we got to look inside. And I'm sorry. It was so much fun to say that I broke my butt.
But you didn't. But
I didn't break my butt. Mm. I broke my back.
Damn.
Jeez.
Well, look, we can't all have a perfect life, you know?
Right, right.
Yeah, that's tough, man. Yeah, I mean, the medical industry today is, it's rough. And, you know, there's a lot that can be said about it. But I agree. I mean, having gone through a lot of stuff myself like that, you got to advocate for yourself. You have to do it. And I'm still learning about it, even though I'm still like, God, I don't want to wait. I got to wait 3 weeks for a doctor appointment. Are you kidding me? Why? What is going? What is, like, literally what is happening here? But.
Right, right.
You know, whatever.
Well, and especially now, because there's no staff, there's no, like, I mean, right at this moment, there is just, they have such a hard time staffing up their hospitals and their doctor's offices. And
it's very difficult. Yeah. Mm-hmm,
even more than ever, you have to advocate for yourself because they're all on a triage system.
Sure. Yeah. So. They're underfunded too and understaffed and the whole thing sucks. But like, what's the answer? I don't know.
Yeah.
Less pharmacists.
Yeah, obviously. Yes. Yeah. Fire more of me.
Yeah.
Most healthcare systems have posted a loss in the last year. Thankfully, my healthcare system has not. Most insurance companies have posted record profits.
Yeah. Well, it's just like gas too. Gas companies have done the same thing.
Just want to say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It happens. Yeah. It's weird. Well, you know what, Eric? I'm glad you got that off your butt. I mean, off your chest. I really appreciate that you're not.
No, it was on my butt. Thank
sitting idly about.
Our friends at the 21st Amendment Brewery welcomed the warmer weather with the release of their brand new hoppy pilsner, Coaster Pils. With a label that depicts a magical portal into an amusement park of flavors, Coaster Pils has a good time around every turn. Coaster Pils is wonderfully clear and bright with a beautiful straw color and tight white bubbles. It has a snappy flavor with crisp lines and wonderful citrus, tropical, hoppy flavors and aromas. Plus, at 5.4% ABV, it'll help you coast right through your day like only the 21st Amendment can. Coaster Pils, as well as our summertime favorite Hell or High Watermelon Wheat, are available wherever you find great craft beer.
I love that's my favorite part about doing the show, where it's like, oh, you know, and another thing, insurance sucks.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Let's welcome the warmer weather with a new product this summer from 21A.
Before we get to the history of the turkey leg, Bev, what's up, dude? You went to Disneyland. How was it? Imagine it was torture and terrifying and awful.
It was busy.
Was it?
And weird. It was a weird trip. There were some things that I had experienced on my previous trip, and I was like, oh, that's different. And then to experience them again this time around, to know that it wasn't a one-off, I have a lot to say about it.
Tell us. Like what?
No, I can't talk about it.
Why not?
I can't talk about it.
Why not?
I'm going to talk about it on the next show.
Okay, you're going to do a show on it.
I'm doing a whole show on it.
Oh.
Okay. All right. Is this...
It's going to be a negative show, and I apologize.
Uh-oh.
I was going to say,
I have a lot of feelings.
You do have a lot of feelings. Okay. Well, that's good. Well, you know what?
I think they're valid. I went to Disneyland 5 times this year.
Wow.
Wow.
Question mark?
I actually don't remember.
Well, I will say that both Bob Chapek and Josh DeMauro are in the chat actively right now. So...
Well, I have a lot to say to both of them.
Yeah. Two snaps and an exit.
I hope that they're recording their usual Twitch session that we pirate and redistribute as the Dirty Yellow Strap.
Is that what that is?
That's what the Dirty Yellow Strap is.
It's on our feet. I have no idea what it is. I see it. I go, I don't know, those guys do whatever they want. I don't know, man.
We pirate the Twitch stream from Josh and Bob.
Oh.
And because they do this every once in a while. They do a Twitch stream.
Okay.
They've only done it twice. And we, Dan and I have listened in and we're like, let's cut out the choice bits and put that on our feed.
Wow.
I'm Scraping the Vault and the other one.
All right.
The other show that I'm...
Bantha Milk.
That I'm actually on.
Oh,
okay. I have to say, Dirty Yellow Strap is just fantastic.
It's pretty good.
I know exactly what that means.
Nice.
I don't.
Yes. You don't get the reference?
No, I don't get it.
When you have to pull your strap, it's always, like when you're sitting on a ride, you have to pull the strap. It's always
pull
a dirty.
The yellow tab.
Oh,
pull the yellow strap.
Honestly, I thought of a pee-soaked jock strap.
Oh.
And I'm like, what is this show?
What?
That's disgusting. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Sorry, as a man, I'm so physical and sports-like that I only think in terms of sports and urine. It's the only two things I think about.
As a different man, all I think about is the Supreme Resort and how great it's been lately.
Yeah, sure.
That's not, don't be sarcastic about it.
I'm no, not. I have to take your
it's
word
been
for
fantastic.
It. But anyway, back to Beverly, Eric. You had your moment in the sun. Now it's time for Beverly.
Okay.
Can you chill out for a second?
All right. I wanted to talk about this article I found about a time traveler from the year 3000 who it says that aliens are going to contact us this month.
I hope so. I really do. So you said the park was busy. Was it busier or is it the park level? Because like you said, you've been about five times. Do you see things increasing or it's sort of plateauing?
I see things increasing and I see there's definitely a schedule. Like if you those midweek days are the only days that you can really go and not just hate everybody. Mm.
I don't understand why it's getting busier with the, I mean, because you go online and you see articles going, the magic is gone. And you see people going, I will never blah, 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 because the price increases or whatever. But clearly people are still going and it sounds like more people than ever are going.
It was, I think, Thursday. And we got there every day for rope drop, which was something I had never actually done. And then pretty much by noon or right after noon, we were like, let's go. We left. Mm-hmm. We went back to the hotel. We took a nap.
Mm-hmm.
We came back at like 6 or 7.
Yeah.
And then closed out the park because it was open until midnight. But that whole like 12 to 6 window was straight trash.
Wow. Mm-hmm. I have heard that it's pretty darn busy in the afternoon, but those early morning, you got to get there at rope drop.
You have to. That was the most magical part of the trip. I was like, oh, this is great.
Leaving, being able to leave and come back was the best part, I guess.
I'm going to say one thing.
Yeah.
That was ridiculous. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to include this next week, but so we got there for rope drop and we're like, okay, we're going to do Rise. Let's go. Let's get in line. Let's just go do it.
Rise of the Resistance. Yes.
Rise of the Resistance, yes, right? Like, we're right there. We're right at that part where you veer off into frontier land.
Yeah, yeah. Sure, man.
Sure. Whatever. Somewhere over there, we're like, our eyes are on the prize.
Okay.
We get there. We're in a good place in line. We're standing for about 5 minutes. Cast member comes by and is like, ride's broken. Don't stand in line. We don't know when it's coming back. And I was like, how is it broken? It's been open for 6 minutes. It did not come back online until 1 p.m.
Oh,
wow.
And do you get like a the all fast pass thing?
Oh,
or do you
I
get
didn't
a thing
get
to come? Real nothing. I think they're supposed to give you something.
They didn't give us anything.
God, I think you have to ask.
Probably
for it.
Because it was only six. The park had only been open for 6 minutes. So they really didn't feel like they wasted a lot of my time.
Mm. Yeah. Jeez.
Well, that's funny. Anyway.
But they prevented you from going on something else
right
at that time.
Yeah, they definitely should have given you something. Do you go and eat like the new food and like the seasonal foods and stuff there?
I do not.
Really? Surprising to me.
Rude.
Well, it sounds like you had a great time, Bev.
I did. I sounds negative. I did have a good time. Yeah. I do have some good things to talk about. Okay. I just have some things that I noticed that I thought were kind of
booty
icky. Yeah. Like I just, if that's the way things are going, I'm a little like
okay. Well, I look forward to hearing about all this stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, it'll make me feel better by not wanting to go.
Fair.
All right, we're gonna take a quick break, everybody. We're gonna come back and we're gonna learn about how the turkey legs eventually wound up in Disneyland, which I'm sure that's exactly what the origin story is. They just wandered over there one day.
Yes.
Right. Happens.
That's it.
Yeah. They're still going. They're like lemmings. Anyway, ears up. We'll be right back.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
And now, back to the show that ignites your dream wish of imaginations and magical color wonderment of forever. Ears up.
All right, I had to go get a coaster pills, everybody. Look at those tight white bubbles.
Wow, look at that head right there.
Why not? All right, Eric, tell us about the... Well, actually, is this technically a What's Eat Eric Eating Again segment or no?
Yeah, let's just play the theme song.
Let's just play the theme song.
Why not?
Why not? All right, what's Eric eating again, Eric? Let me guess.
I'm eating turkey legs.
Yeah, the boy.
They're big.
I love them.
Yeah, people like them. Some people love them.
I love them.
Some people are vegan and will never try one.
Yeah, well, those people are boring.
Oh no, we can't isolate that part of the audience.
You know, my one failure, the biggest failure besides Cuvier's. Was the you know, when we made the churro
the turkey
castle shirt, and I was like,
turkey castle.
You know what's gonna sell even more?
Yeah,
the friggin' turkey legs castle shirt, and like nobody buys it.
I love the thing.
I think it came out great. Lulu did such an amazing job.
I love the no grease stain.
The grease stain, yeah.
Castle.
It's classic, yeah. And like no one cares. So whatever.
Cheers. Everybody loves the churro castle. Yeah. So stick with what worked.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Churros are just somehow friendlier.
Yeah, turkey legs are sort of aggressive.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got you with that. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, that's just work, dude. I know I'm going to sweat.
Yeah.
As I do this.
Yeah. Yeah. Turkey legs are big, and they're big enough that you probably shouldn't tackle one on your own. I know plenty of people do.
Yeah, nonsense. Nonsense. No. We're not raising a listenership of quitters.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, everybody they cost what, about $12 each. Everybody buy one tomorrow. They're big enough that they're not really a snack. They are a full meal.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
they're turkey legs, and we love them so much that Disney guests buy 2 million turkey legs every year at Disney parks.
Wow.
2 million.
Is that across the world? I can't imagine there's like
That's
turkey
across
legs
the
in
the United States.
Okay.
I don't know what happens across the seas. I don't know what they're doing in Shanghai.
Wow. Yeah.
I don't have numbers in Shanghai.
2 million. That's how many ear hats were sold in the
That's
Disneyland resort
thinking.
In a year.
Same numbers.
And there we go. And people are eating those ear hats like nobody's business. They're also eating turkey legs like nobody's business.
God bless them.
Yeah. These delightful treats ascended to Disney snack fandom pretty recently. It's when snacks suddenly became their own thing, like magnets and on shirts and You would buy pins that had a picture of your favorite snack.
Mm-hmm.
But that kind of implies that Disney has always been selling these things, but they haven't. Oh. They're a pretty new addition to our parks.
Hmm.
So let's take a moment to delve into the history of turkey legs.
Let's do some delving.
Let's delve, everybody. Turkey legs are not exclusive to like Disney World versus Disneyland. Both places have them. Plenty of county fairs also have mm-hmm. them. County state Renaissance fairs. Everybody loves having a giant hunk of meat that they can eat right off the bone. But in 1989, Disney's food and beverage executive Dave Jarrett went on a nationwide search for new treats for the parks.
Man, what a job. I'm sorry, but right? what a trumped up, like, I'm just going to go tour the country. Oh, really? Why? You find a new snack. You know, that's like Guy Fieri, get out of the way. Here's the exact way to, you know, fleece your company just to travel around.
Yeah.
God.
Here's some new Ray-Bans. Go over there and make a few million dollars.
Yeah. God.
But Dave happened across this treat at some fair somewhere and said, you know what? I can make this work. So he rolled out turkey legs slowly. We started out with one location for turkey legs in 1989, which I suppose now that I say 1989 out loud and say this is a recent thing. 1989 was a long time ago. And there are people, some of our listeners were born after that. Probably. Maybe. I don't know our demographics. Anyway,
yeah, neither do I.
In 1989, the first location to sell turkey legs in the Magic Kingdom at Walt Disney World was Big Al's. It was a food cart in Frontierland outside the Country Bear Jamboree. So instantly lines formed. Park guests just couldn't get enough of it. It goes without saying that the popularity of this treat was enough that they had to expand it outside of one outdoor vending cart. For some reason, this same cart still exists. Well, for some reason, the cart still exists, and for some reason, it now sells toys and hats. So if you want a coonskin cap, and if you want to feel like a kid in the 50s who watched Davy Crockett, that's where you go.
Nice.
Big Al's.
All right.
Yeah. These days, guests can find turkey legs all over Walt Disney World and Disneyland. Epcot has the Fife and Drum Tavern outside the American Adventure. They sell turkey legs, funnel cakes, and craft beer. What a combination.
That's a perfect combination, to be quite honest.
Right?
Sounds like America.
Yeah, it does.
That's America right there.
Hey, man. You go with Disney's, what you know.
Yeah. Disney's Animal Kingdom. Go to the lounge outside of the Yak and Yeti, where you can get also frozen alcoholic beverages, egg rolls, and turkey legs. And if you're in the mood for a turkey leg in Disney Springs, check out the House of Blues Smokehouse. There used to be a location in Hollywood Studios called Toluca Legs.
Okay.
Toluca Legs Turkey Company.
Sounds like a vaudeville act.
I'm not sure if that has reopened, but that used to be there. It does sound pretty great. In Disneyland, we have several locations where you can pick things up. Why is... Did this update? Oh, no. Oh, no. Bad content right here.
Mm.
Where are all the notes from Disneyland? I'll just do it off the dome. There are four locations in Disneyland where you can get, or in the Disneyland Resort, where you can get turkey legs. You can get them at the Poultry Palace in DCA. You can get them at the food cart that is on the west side of the hub in Disneyland proper. There's a food cart along the Rivers of America that sells turkey legs. And there is a fourth location that I'm not placing. Oh, Edelweiss Snacks, of course.
Of course.
Obviously, you can get a turkey leg at Edelweiss Snacks, where you can also get a chimichanga right outside the Matterhorn itself.
Huh.
I'm glad I took notes on this earlier.
You can get a chimichanga?
Oh, yeah. You can get chimichangas at Edelweiss Snacks.
You didn't know this? I heard that they're disgusting.
Oh, really?
Because they're just like grease-laden flour.
Perfect.
Yeah, sounds like right up your alley. Yeah, you're right. You're right. Whoa, Beverly, this is a family show.
Sorry, I forgot what show we were on, but also no. I said what I said.
No, there are certain hosts on this network that absolutely love the chimichangas. And when I watched them eat the chimichangas, I went, that is something I won't put into my body.
Oh, man.
And that was Supreme Con 1. Not the second Supreme Con. Mm. Anyway, listen to the Supreme Resort, everybody. It's on the Years Up Network. It's pretty great. My co-hosts might not live as long as me.
And that's pretty great.
It's just me arguing with myself in the future. So the secret to turkey legs, Disney chefs cure the turkey legs in a brine solution first to impart that rich and salty flavor.
Okay.
They're then smoked over hickory, much like a ham. This is a little bit of a different take on turkey prep than most people do. So it gives it an exotic flair that's different from your normal Thanksgiving turkey. Some people, because of this preparation technique, don't believe that turkey legs are actual turkey legs, as you mentioned earlier, Jason.
That's always been like the internet thing where, like, you know, they're ostrich legs or something like that, because they're, I mean, if you've never seen one, and maybe people haven't, they're massive.
Yeah.
They are humongous. Yeah. They're not just like, oh, like, you know, because we're coming up on Thanksgiving. It's not like you're sitting down at dinner and you're like, oh, let me get a turkey leg. People are paying $14 for it. No, it's a baseball bat. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's huge. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It is enormous, and it does taste different than your normal Thanksgiving turkey.
Tastes like ham.
It does taste like ham. It's like ham. Saltier ham. Yeah.
Well, there you go. It's cured in, it's brined, and it's smoked. So it's very much prepared like a ham. Mm, okay. So rumors have surrounded this for so long that Travel Channel star Andrew Zimmern addressed the rumors in an episode about Disney parks.
Really?
In a specific episode, he said, no, these are real turkey legs. Here's them preparing turkeys. They watched them like slaughtering turkey. They did not.
No. I was like, see this.
Yeah, I'm instantly thinking seeker show material. Yeah. Here we go.
Okay.
Or at least walk about.
And some people say emu, some people say ostrich.
Emu. Come on.
Right.
Yeah, I've heard that.
That's someone trying to flex online like they know what an emu is.
Snopes, Snopes.com stepped in to help debunk claims as well. These rumors keep circulating. It keeps coming back up. Have any of you eaten ostrich before?
No, I can't say I have. At least I have, not knowingly.
Okay. Okay.
I think I have. I know I've had ostrich jerky.
Okay.
But I think I've had it prepared other ways also. Well, I think I've had it before.
Hmm. Okay. It's really red meat, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. I think I had an ostrich burger, actually.
I've never had an ostrich burger, but I've had an ostrich steak, and it was like the toughest. It was definitely red meat, and it was
gamey.
It was super gamey. It was good, but it's totally different than what people think these turkey legs are.
This all just reminds me of that Matthew Broderick movie where he's like running exotic animals for like this rich people to eat or whatever, and then he has a conscience because he didn't know about it, and he freedom or something like that. Remember that?
No, I
have no idea. What
I think it was Matthew Broderick, and I want to say it was the guy, the Godfather homie. What's his name? The guy with the
Brando?
Godfather. Yeah, I think it was a Brando. I'm gonna look it up. You keep going. Not that I'm not paying attention, but I'm going to look it up.
Oh, yeah. No, pay half attention and look up this Marlon Brando movie.
I have had ostrich. I have to say it right. Fuddruckers.
Oh, wow.
Fuddruckers?
I had to make sure I said it right.
Wow.
Not food ruckers?
Interesting.
Mm. Yeah, they had ostrich burgers.
Wow.
And like elk burgers. They had like a bunch of weird burgers. I was like, I think I had a burger. Yeah.
The Freshman.
Oh, I've heard of that. I have not seen it.
Not The Graduate, Dan.
Not The Graduate.
Satirical crime comedy, Marlon Brando and Matthew Broderick. Man, I'm so good with Penelope Ann Miller and Frank Whaley.
I have not seen this movie, and I don't know what...
Oh, it's great.
The name sounds familiar, but I have not seen this movie.
Yeah.
What I have seen is a turkey leg.
Is a human being eat his own leg and thinking it was a turkey leg.
Dan texted me 24 minutes ago to say, check out the chat. I'm sorry, Dan.
Someone's working here, Daniel.
Yeah, I'm busy. Okay,
yeah,
bro. Anyway, so what makes the turkey leg so big? Many of the turkeys that we prepare for holiday dinner are female turkeys who are already plenty big.
Mm-hmm.
We grow big.
They're rude.
I'm just saying we
prefer the term thick.
Are you a turkey? I'm not saying you're a turkey. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
I'm just saying female birds are prepared for Thanksgiving.
Look at these birds.
Yeah.
Yeah. See,
check out the gams on them birds.
Yeah. The birds, everybody. Yeah. See.
Anyway, Disney uses male turkeys And male turkeys are svelte and have very large legs.
Sick. Same, honestly.
Right, exactly.
So they're toms. They're toms.
They're all John Debneys.
Okay.
So each turkey leg that Disney sells is about 1.5 pounds.
Wow.
Bone in, though.
Honestly, that makes the price feel a lot better.
But but it's mostly bone. Yeah. Well, not mostly. Yeah.
You know what? Only about 1/4 pound of that is bone. The rest is meat.
They're not mostly bone.
So it's like 4 ounces of bone.
The bone is big. The bone is large, nice. But it's still a bird bone. It's not the most dense thing out there. What you are paying for is
it's not
protein.
Mean. Right.
You're paying for meat.
Yeah. Same. Yeah.
So turkey legs clock in between 750 and 1000 calories.
That seems about right.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's like putting it in those terms where you just absolutely housing a turkey leg by yourself. You just, your body, especially as you get older, you can't flash mob your body with 1,000 calories in 10 minutes anymore and get away with it.
But at Disneyland, I think you sort of can because you walk
10 miles a day.
Well, I'm not even talking about like burning it off, but just like it's like putting a fire hose in your car and gassing up your car that way.
It's just like, oh, yeah, things are going to happen.
It's
true.
It's wild.
Disney, 36 to 50 grams of fat, more than 1,000 grams of sodium.
That tracks.
Oh, God. How many grams of sodium are you supposed to have in general a day?
Oh, man. I should have looked that up.
I don't remember, but I know Top Ramen has it like 1,000.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah, it's not ridiculous compared to other processed foods that we all enjoy. But
limit sodium intake to less than 2,300 milligrams a day. So that's
half. I mean, 1,000 milligrams, okay, not grams.
So it's half your daily amount.
Okay.
Perfect. You're fine.
Don't eat anything else at the park.
Well, it's also half your daily calorie intake. So it's actually not surprising. True.
Yeah. I mean, I guess you're right. Yeah. But I don't know. Like, what other food do you know that's like equal calorie and sodium?
There you go. Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. So Disney, in fact, does counter this argument. It does counter this fact with the opposing fact that the average guests walks around a Disney park enough to burn about as many calories as a turkey leg gives you every day.
See?
So, all right. Just walking around a Disney park, the average Disney guest burns off 750 to 1,000 calories every day. So it's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
It's a wash.
Yeah. That way you're turkey leg neutral.
Let's just not talk about how many calories churros have.
Right, or anything else.
Anything else, yeah, right.
Don't eat anything else. You're fine. So here's some interesting turkey talk. Disney has had a unique connection to turkeys outside of their legs, but kind of close to Thanksgiving dinner.
Oh.
In 1989, the first year that turkey legs were offered in Frontierland in Walt Disney World, it also marked the first year that George Herbert Walker Bush pardoned a turkey from the White House Thanksgiving dinner.
Whoa. What a lucky turkey.
This became an annual tradition that extended, that continues to this day. George W. Bush continued that tradition and added a specific Disney spin because in 2005, he pardoned two turkeys named Marshmallow and Yam.
Oh, I get it.
Instead of sending them to a farm.
Mm-hmm, right. Like air quote farm. Turkeys, yeah, for sure.
He sent them to the petting zoo at Disneyland.
We've met those turkeys.
Mm-hmm. You have pet those turkeys.
Yeah.
All three of you, I'm sure.
Yeah, I tugged on their waddles.
Not I.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I definitely have a picture of it somewhere in an old phone.
Nice.
This is like a spy.
You've got a
friggin' Taryn and the Patriot. I have it somewhere in my old phone.
Your original iPhone. You're like, no, I've got it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Honey, that's literally a brick from our garden. No, it's a phone. Sorry.
W did so again in 2006 with Flyer and Fryer.
Oh.
In 2007, W changed up the tradition, and instead of sending May and flower, get it?
Mm. I do. I really do. Yeah. Yeah.
Do we?
He just punted them like football.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. Instead of sending May and flower to Disneyland, he sent them to Walt Disney World, where they served as the honorary grand marshals of the Thanksgiving Day parade.
It's ridiculous.
I'm sure like he got to choose where they go. I'm sure I could see him be like, hey, you know what I'm going to do? Basically, it's Sam. If Sam was the president, you know what I'm going to do? I want to send these turkeys to Disney World instead.
That's true.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. The tradition continues of pardoning turkeys every year at Thanksgiving, but turkeys have sadly not been sent to a Disney park since 2009.
No, all those drug convictions.
But I think that's, 2000. That can't be true, because I met Jason in 2010 and we've seen them at the park.
Well, they were probably still there. I don't know. They were saying there's no more.
That was still Marshmallow and Yam.
Yeah, gotcha.
Yeah.
All right, fair enough.
You know the year we met? Like off the top of your head, off rip, you know it?
Yeah.
I couldn't tell.
Wow. I also know the date.
Well, yeah, because it was Valentine's Day. It's like a brain genius to figure that out.
It was 2010, yeah. And it's easy because it's 2010, so I always know how long we've known each other.
That sucks. Anyway, Eric.
Enough of that. Yeah. Please, let's get back to turkeys.
Yeah.
If you're in the mood for some turkey, you can have more than just turkey legs around the parks. If you enjoy your turkey sliced instead of like ripping it off the bone, like a damn animal.
Yeah. My favorite wrestler.
Go to the Liberty Tree Tavern in the Magic Kingdom, because you can get the Patriots Platter, which is an all you care to eat Patriots Platter.
I hate that name. That is the worst. Oh, God. If it. Freedom.
It's in
fries.
Liberty Square.
Yeah, well, right. Oh. It's too close to home. It's too close to the current timeline of like being like hyper relevant in certain circles. I don't like it.
You know what?
I don't like it.
Let me double check. Let's see. Patriots Platter at Liberty Tree Tavern. Wow, that came up right away.
I don't like it.
Yeah, it's still called the Patriots Platter.
Okay. Anyway, what can you get there again? Yeah. What is it?
You get a whole lot of meat. It's an all you care to eat experience, which is something that that's unique to Disney. And I dislike that phrase, but it's better than all you can eat,
all you care to eat. Yeah, it is Disney. It is Disney-fied, but in an odd way. I know what you mean. I don't necessarily really enjoy it, all you care to eat. Well, it's almost like not gaslighting, but it's almost like a neg, where it's like, oh, you care to eat that much, do you? Okay.
Yeah.
It's a little shamey, like.
Right. Ooh, yeah.
Like, I mean, really, you care to continue?
All you care to order another plate?
The woman in her bonnet is standing there with her little notepad and her quill, judging the crap out of you.
Right.
I love it.
Yeah. This is medieval times, therefore we have no silverware. Would you like another refill of your Pepsi? You had no forks, but you had Pepsi. Dude, I got a lot of tables.
Wow. Cable guy.
Cable gog. Cable gubla. Best movie. Jim Carrey's best movie. Hands down.
Absolutely.
Cable guy. And Once Bitten, but that's, you know, neither here nor there. Anyway, go ahead. Continue with the Patriots Platter, please.
Please, let me continue talking about the Patriots Platter, for goodness sake.
Yeah. Mr. 5-minute segment over here.
The all you care to eat. This is on you.
Yeah, I know.
You made me extend this into an entire show.
Yeah.
So it recreates the traditional holiday Thanksgiving meal all year around. So in the middle of summer, you can get a heaping pile of roast turkey breast, pot roast, and pork roast. That's the meat side of the menu. Mashed potatoes, roasted vegetables, herb stuffing, macaroni and cheese. There's some salad in case you want a not cooked vegetable. And apple cake or toffee cake are very much preferred favorites at the end of the meal. These days, Liberty Tree Tavern is one of the few locations in the Magic Kingdom that also allows adult beverages like American wines and craft beer. No cocktails.
Mm.
Don't ask for cocktails.
Well, you're not gonna
this
have
is the
Magic
Kingdom
cocktail.
We're talking about. But you can also get soda and coffee.
Okay.
And
oh.
If you're from Georgia, you can get a Coke in any flavor. And if you're from the Midwest, you can get a pop.
All right.
And if you're from whatever portion of the country it is that calls it soda pop, you can get a soda pop.
Soda pop. I love it.
But yes, Disney chefs will always accommodate your family's needs. If you have allergy issues, they will take care of that. And there you go.
Yeah,
you
but
can
who
have
cares?
A full Thanksgiving meal without having to rip meat off of a bone. But let's get back to that bone. Let's get back to that turkey leg. If you want to recreate the salty, smoky flavor of this park, flavor it. That was almost a slip of the tongue. But it was perfect, right?
Yeah. Hey, Nurse Jackie, why don't you, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. Look, just search online. Bing it. Alta Vista it.
There you go.
Google it. Don't Google it. Alta Vista it. There are many, many versions of this recipe online. Most people don't have access to giant male turkeys, but, you know, you can try to recreate this experience if you would enjoy doing so on your own. Otherwise, just wait until your next visit to the parks and shell out $12 for a pound and a half of meat and bone.
There you go.
Nice.
Yeah. Sounds good. Yeah, you know, when I do turkeys, I don't brine them. I do like a dry rub, like a dry brine.
Yeah.
My buddy's big on brining, and he has like a whole like brine recipe. A homebrew chef, you look it up.
But oh,
I
that
just
guy.
Yeah, but I just don't find it like, I don't know. I tried it once, and I was like, I don't really, you know, whatever. I don't really notice a big difference. You spatchcock it, dry brine it. It's just the same, and it's cooks faster too.
True.
Very good, Eric.
There we go.
Cool.
I love it. I love leg story. All right, let's do a little bit of news. Huh? There's a couple news announcements that we got to get through. We have to.
Okay.
Like literally.
Absolutely.
We really do because, and you'll find out in a second.
The listeners are clamoring for this news.
Present and future with all the news that's fit to cover. It's the Ears Up Disney News.
I love it, old Disney news. I do have a couple of images to share too, at least one. Eric, maybe you know this. So Hope is in the chat and she wants us to cover some Main Street Electrical Parade news.
Oh.
But I can't find any new announcements. Do you know about this?
I was going to say, if I need to catch up on something, let me look that up.
Yeah, look that up.
I don't know.
I'm going to continue. I want you to look it up and I'm going to continue with let's just jump right into sharing this video moment.
Okay. Oh.
There's a new you're going to I wish Jeremy was here. There's a new there's a new movie
underneath you.
Yeah, please don't. There's a new movie coming to Disney Plus. It's a documentary. It's called Idina Menzel, Which Way to the Stage? Which first of all, if you have to ask that. I mean, see, you know, it's like where which way to my front door? I don't know. Like you should know there's one. You go in the thing, it's right there. You should know it.
Are you Jerry Seinfeld?
Hey, what are you thinking about the Johns? Guys, I don't know. You want to watch the trailer for it?
I mean, I guess.
What is this?
No.
Our hit show Walkabout?
You're supposed to say yes.
You're supposed to say yes, everybody.
Fine.
Here, let's see.
Very first day of rehearsal. We're gonna do 17 shows and then they end up in my dream spot, which is at the Garden.
This tour is bigger. It's to tell the story of my life and how I got here.
Like literally, who cares?
Yeah, I
my
already
entire
don't
identity
like her.
Was wrapped up in being a singer. But I needed a job, so I went in for this little off-Broadway show.
This is from a show called Rent.
When I got cast in Rent, I got an agent, a record deal.
Agent.
So you think it's happening. But I sold no records, and then I got dropped. I just kind of start all over again.
Let
big one.
Let it go, let it go.
The success of Frozen, that was a defining moment for me. It's about harnessing this power we all have in ourselves.
Is it? We all have this power over snow and ice in ourselves?
So many labels that I'm working on.
Love you, Walker.
Are you a Broadway girl or are you a pop girl? Who are you? What do you want to be? I'm all these things, and all these things make up who I am.
You're not a pop girl. Like, what are you talking about? No.
I'm sorry.
I was lip syncing.
I couldn't care. Less about this. I couldn't care less about it. I really couldn't.
The success of Frozen, you could tell this is a, never mind. But the success of Frozen is what was really defining to her, not the iconic role in Wicked that she played on Broadway.
Oh, I didn't even know. I mean, she mentions Rent, and it's like, oh, I didn't know she was in like...
She was Elphaba in Wicked with Kristen Chenoweth, like the original cast.
I don't know. I mean,
Wicked was huge. I never really liked Rent.
I don't know anything about. I mean, I know Rent. A little bit about it, but I don't want to talk about it.
It's because like as a show choir like guy in high school, like some of the Rent songs were like crammed down our throat. Like you're gonna do this one because it's popular.
How do you measure a year, Eric?
529,600 minutes. I hate that song so much.
Well, anyway, there you go. Idina Menzel is getting her very own documentary. It's going to air on Disney Plus Friday, December 9th. And I really do want to do a watch party with Jeremy, but he has yet to respond to my tweet.
You want to do a watch party for that show?
I'd watch that.
Well, yeah, because Jeremy can't stand Adele Dazeem.
Oh, I'd watch the two of you watch it.
Oh, yeah. I would watch that.
Because, like, I mean, I'm sorry, but I... don't care. It's like, oh, the story is to persevere and never give up on your dreams. Meanwhile, people have literally gone bankrupt from not giving up on the dreams. Sometimes you have to give up on your dreams, folks. Sometimes you have to let things, you know, let it go. You have to. You can't keep chasing a dream if you're putting your own money up because you're going to go broke.
Yeah. I mean, okay. So to be fair, you don't like a lot of things. So like,
I don't like that you said that.
Okay. So it doesn't say a whole lot that you watched that and were like, oh, this doesn't appeal to me. But she seems kind of like a terrible person. Like
she does. You got that she's a terrible person of a minute 45 trailer.
She seems fine. Yeah. She seems like a fine person.
She's a mom. I don't know if you knew that.
It seems very full of yourself to tell your story about how you became famous when it did not sound in that trailer like anything really went that wrong, except one time she got dropped from a label because she didn't sell enough records.
Mm-hmm.
It might be a little self-indulgent.
Yeah.
She had to start from the beginning.
Oh God, how sad for you.
She had to start all over. Meanwhile, no, her starting all over was her going back and going to an off-Broadway thing. But no, she had enough connections where she could do it or kind of whatever she wanted. Like, I don't care.
That's what I mean.
I don't care.
She's shining her own diamond. Like, it's not a good story to tell. There are a lot of other people I would prefer to see their story.
Yeah.
To stardom.
Speaking of stories that I want to hear about to stardom, Bob Chapek gave an interview recently talking about a whole bunch of stuff. Apparently Disney stock is down and people are down on Bobby C about it, but
it's way the hell down.
Yeah. It's like $88 or something like that. It's very, very cheap right now.
Mm. It bounced a little bit. We're back up to 90. I'm just checking right now. 90.46.
There you go.
Where it ended today.
There you go.
So I'm worth slightly more money right now.
Attaboy. So basically this is just a little excerpt that I thought was pretty interesting. He's talking about like what other things that they can do with the Disney brand other than just parks and movies, right? He says, I equate managing the company's portfolio to a manual car going between the gas pedal, brake, and clutch. The focus, he said, must be, quote, customer lifetime value. More than its media peers, Disney is able to look well outside of film, TV, and digital media to enhance that customer value. On the drawing board, for example, is a newly planned community outside Palm Springs. We've heard about that. Chapek defended new pricing and reservation systems as theme parks developed during COVID while they were shut. Yes, sir.
Back up.
Yeah, I can't. There's a wall right there.
Call it for what it is. What Story is it? Worth.
story worth?
You've got to talk about the story of the community.
Well, look, I didn't write this, all right? You go talk to Deadline about the story worth. Okay. I don't know what you're talking about.
You've got to talk about the story every time. That's the entire point.
Oh.
Story.
I don't understand. But I love you anyway. They've helped manage attendance and improve the guest experience, but also generate some controversy. The old systems were antiquated and treated everyone as one size fits all. This is pre-COVID stuff, right? It's like the same throttle. We would wear it as a badge of honor, he said. The one thing that was clear is that people do not want to be treated the same.
What is he talking about?
It's about these micro experiences where people want to pay to skip the lines. They want to pay to do the thing. And it's like, you know, on the one hand,
insane person.
On the one hand, he's correct, because you were just telling us in the first segment, the park is busier now than it was at any other time that you've seen it this year.
Yeah.
He's not wrong. That's what people don't understand about Chapek. He doesn't just open his mouth and guess about stuff. He has numbers to back his information up.
Yeah.
He said virtual theme parks are unlikely, which I thought that was an interesting thing, a virtual theme park visit, even with the burgeoning metaverse. Because we talked about it a little bit about when the metaverse sort of popped. You could potentially maybe just go to the park on your VR headset or whatever, and you get your fix that way. But he said some behind the scenes looks are possible. Quote, people like to get off attractions and see exactly how those ghosts in the Haunted Mansion work, which, by the way, they're on a friggin' hydraulic thing and they pop up. I want to check that out. It's usually the reason why rides stop. It's very funny to me. People on the Haunted Mansion, they stop the ride because they're trying to look out and get off the ride to see how it works. We can give you that ability to exit the theme park virtually and figure out what makes it tick. I thought that was, and that's basically it. And then he says, then when you're watching Disney Plus, the Haunted Mansion movie will be served up as your first choice, not buried on page 4. So when we're talking a little bit about Chapek trying to get the theme parks tied into your Disney Plus experience, maybe that's kind of what, you know, he's talking about. Like if you've queued up to see like how the Haunted Mansion works, next time you load up Disney Plus, it's going to take that. It's sort of like the algorithm for YouTube right now. It'll just serve you up the video of what's related to whatever you just searched for.
You're gonna have to watch that movie with Eddie Murphy,
which I kind of liked. I'm not gonna lie, man,
holding out for Jared Leto. He's the Hatbox Ghost in the new one, if you haven't.
No, he's not. Really,
if you haven't clocked that. Yeah, he's the Hatbox Ghost in the new movie that's coming out next year.
Eric, have you found anything on the Main Street Electrical Parade?
I am looking. Like
Hope says it's on the out. Disney Wikipedia page, but I haven't seen anything about it.
Hope says, yeah.
All right, you keep going.
Maybe Hope can help us out and give us a link.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
I hope so.
There's a new dessert at Disney World.
Okay.
And I want to talk about it because I want to see if you guys would actually eat this dessert.
Probably.
Oh.
probably.
Yeah.
I found.
Why does it look like poop?
Yeah, those ones look like poop. Yeah, these are weird.
That's
not new.
It's not new?
Oh my gosh, it is animal poop.
Yeah, it's
animal. No, they've done this before.
Oh, okay. Maybe it's just back again. Oh no, this is 2015.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. So whoever shared it in the Discord, here I'm gonna call them out.
That is funny though.
Was it Steven?
Old news.
Steven.
Yeah, apparently it's old news. Well, I guess it comes and goes. But anyway. Disney World is dropping disgusting new dish on the menu of an Animal Kingdom shop, animal poop.
That is kind of gross, though.
Anyway, yeah.
I think it's kind of funny, but I do kind of like it.
Well, right. And so, like, I don't know that I would, because, you know, and it looks like it's not like a poop emoji, like a turd, everybody. Sure. But it's like, you know, small little like balls or whatever.
Different types of poops of different animals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Scat.
Yeah.
Scat. Yeah. Yeah. Which is from the Greek root skata. Which means poop.
Oh,
I don't know if you guys knew that. Scatology, the study of poop, is a Greek root word. So you know that.
Wow.
Where's Lee from Greece and Disney? Come on. How can people
everywhere on my Instagram?
Yeah, how can people breathe when there's no Greeks pavilion in friggin' Epcot? How can people grow hair when there's no pavilion for Greece?
So true.
The only thing I'm seeing on the wiki about Main Street Electrical Parade is that on July 14th, 2022, Disney announced the parade's 50th anniversary run would end on September 1st.
Yeah.
But
That's all I found too. So Hope, if you got a linky, drop it in the chat arena.
Or if you know what the announcement is, maybe just
you can tell us too. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk more about news from 2015.
The last thing I have to talk about real fast is a late breaking piece of news. And I want to mention the fact that, first of all, I want to go back to what people were saying about this. So this is about the Tarzan's treehouse.
Okay.
In Adventureland or whatever. When it came down, when the news came down that it was going to be rethemed or they were just working on it, Disney didn't even announce anything. They're just like, oh, they just quietly put up scrims and whatever. They're doing work on it, right? People were flipping their wigs about it. What's it going to be? Whatever.
Us included.
Well, for sure. Yeah, absolutely. Our friends over at WWNT started the rumor mill churning, which is what they do. And, you know, people always go, well, you know, they're more right than they are wrong. And I really like calling them out because it's very fun. Because if you really dig into it, they're not. They're not more right than they are wrong.
They're vague enough.
They make up stuff just for clicks. And I think it's an open secret, but people still give them clicks. And I don't understand why. This is from June 7th, 2022. What is happening over there? Somebody's tightening noise. A zip tie. What's going on? Entrance tree to Tarzan's treehouse fully removed for rumored Encanto retheme at Disneyland. No, there was no rumor. The rumor, and that's all they say. They say that, and then in the article down below, which is, of course, you go through four different ads to get seven different ads. Disney has not announced a new theme for the treehouse. Rumor has it the attraction may get an Encanto theme inspired by Antonio's treehouse bedroom, which, first of all, sounds stupid because Antonio was in the movie for like 4 minutes. So why would they do that? Makes no sense.
But it also doesn't really fit the theming of the area.
No, not at all.
Yeah, I mean, treehouse, jungle, you can make it work. I don't know.
I guess.
But like, so anyway, so that was WWNT. Then the Kingdom Insider, wrote an article in April. And WW wrote one earlier than that, too. I just didn't pull it up yet. Yeah, here it is right here. April 18th, 2022. Breaking! Tarzan's treehouse being rethemed, possibly to Encanto. And of course, it just says this is the sentence. Rumors indicate it may be Encanto. That's all they say about it. So they wrote an article in April, then they wrote another one in June. But after the one in April, the Kingdom Insider wrote one the same day. Is an Encanto retheme coming to Tarzan's treehouse?
Oh, Lord.
Is it just because that's the only movie that had a house in it?
I don't know.
Or a tree.
Yeah.
Or a tree.
Yeah.
Luca didn't have any trees.
Even
famously.
Comicbook.com, which is more of a blog site or more of a news site than a blog site, but still, you know, they cover mainstream stuff. But on that same day as well, on April 18th, they wrote about popular Disneyland attraction might be getting Encanto makeover. And that's it. They don't really, mention it. They don't mention WWNT, thank God, because they don't need more press. But like, so April, that clearly got a ton of hits. So they decided to rewrite the article in June, publish another version of it in June, which is still the same vague nonsense. Well, we talked about it. I think we covered it on the show. Maybe it was in depth. But I said, no way. They're literally never going to do this. And then I think in that maybe in one of those new things, I was like, you know, we announced that they're redoing Swiss Family Robinson. And I think, and I don't know if this is like the Barbra Streisand effect or not, but I seem to remember saying something about, if they're going to do anything, that'd be cool if they just redid it as Swiss Family Robinson Treehouse, because it makes sense. They're redoing the movie, right?
Yeah.
Well, today, the former Tarzan's Treehouse in Disneyland will be transformed into Adventureland Treehouse, reopening next year to the 1960 film Swiss Family Robinson. The walkthrough attraction's first run as a Swiss Family Treehouse lasted from 1962 to 1998. Disneyland's Treehouse became Tarzan's Treehouse in 99. And this is pretty funny. That attraction shuttered in September 21, and rumors circulated from the likes of WDW News Today that it may be rethemed to the 2021 Disney animated hit Encanto. WDWNT ended up being wrong, as Disney announced Thursday on its official parks blog that the Adventureland Treehouse will be inspired by Walt Disney's Swiss Family Robinson in 2023. Quote, the Adventureland Treehouse will showcase wondrous new environments created amongst the branches of a giant tree on the shores of the Jungle River, where guests will once again enter by the giant water wheel and follow the wood rope stairways up, up, up into the bows, wrote Disneyland Public Relations Director Kelsey Lynch. I know. Here, you will find fascinating rooms that the family in this new story created for one another, from the mother's music den and the young son's nature room. But this is what you want in a jungle house. You want a nature room. What does that mean? You just didn't get a room? You sleep outside? To the teenage daughter's astronomer's loft. All things are fashioned from found objects and blah, 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 blah. Apparently, it's going to open. They don't really know, actually. But yeah, anyway, so there you go. So once again, add that, tack this on to the myriad of things that WDWNT have been wrong about. They're just incorrect. And they don't care.
No.
Because it's been so long that nobody really remembers. I remember.
Of course.
I sort of love that they're making it. They're sort of reverting it back to what it was.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. That's the name's a little bit generic, but but also very current Disney, the Adventureland Treehouse inspired by the Swiss Family Robinson. Like, isn't that what the official name is on the sign?
Something like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you know.
So it's like a reimagined, but it's based, so they're doing a Disney Plus series on the Swiss Family Robinson.
Right.
So I think it's that sort of reality.
Yeah, they actually went through with it and did what people wanted, which is let's get Tarzan out of there and remake the thing that people still walk through at Walt Disney World.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Every day.
Yeah. But I knew right off the bat, they're not going to do it's not going to happen. Hope, where did you post that? You posted a link. Nothing.
I've been looking through. I can't find anything other than the Main Street Electrical Parade is already done.
Yeah, it's already done.
Yes. And Henry Cavill's going to be Superman again.
Yeah, he left The Witcher to be Superman.
Which is upsetting.
I couldn't get into The Witcher. I think it's because I didn't binge it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Probably. I watched it too far apart and I got too confused by the nonlinear timeline. I think if I had binged it, I would have liked it better.
That makes sense. It's what I did with season two. I sort of dropped out in season two. I just don't care. I guess I don't care. I don't know. But I did finish Andor and I loved it.
Oh,
it was great.
Episode 10. When I watched it last night, I texted the Bantha boys
mm-hmm.
and said, I'm legit like cheering on these people. Like, oh, so good.
But you know what?
The entire series has been great.
Oh, it's been great. But like, I did have a problem with something in season 10. I don't want to spoil it for anybody. Maybe the next secret show we can talk about it.
Okay. Maybe.
Yeah.
I had
a big problem with it.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll talk about it later. I would there's a video out there of the woman who plays, I can't remember the character's name because I can't remember any character's name who isn't on Andor.
Yeah.
But the woman who plays the Imperial Security, the ISB.
Yeah.
She talks. It's a great video. Look it up. It's on StarWars.com where she's talking about how you want to root for her, and it came up on Bantha Milk on their last episode when they were talking about episode 9, where they're like, you kind of want to root for her, but you also realize she's a horrible person.
Yeah.
Who tortures people for a living. And she's like, it's a weird role to play because she's deliberately doing this. You want her to succeed. You want her to be good at her job and push past things, but you realize what that actually means is more death and torture.
Yeah, well, it's interesting because the only reason you want her to be successful is because it's counter to what the Empire is telling her, what the people above her
are
telling her.
There's a patriarchy that's going on.
And it's like,
clearly,
well,
doesn't value her.
Sure, and but it's more than that. Like, she's fighting, quote unquote, the Empire at that point. Like, she's rebelling against the Empire in that. So you're like, oh, well, we want her to win because the Empire is bad. But also if she wins, then she catches everybody and that's bad. So, you know, whatever. It's like, I always go back to Breaking Bad. It's like, everyone's rooting for Walt, but he was literally making meth. Like, it's just, right. You can't, like, you know what I mean? You can't get worse though. You can, but like,
sympathetic.
Right. But it's when you have a bad character who's doing bad things morally and you want them to succeed, that's good writing.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Great show.
Yeah. That's it. I think we're done.
I think so.
That's it.
Okay.
Well,
good stuff.
All right, everybody. Well, I hope you got really hungry from our show here at the Turkey Leg Central or something like that. I do miss the turkey legs. They're juicy, smoky.
They're good.
It's good stuff, man. I appreciate the turkey legs. God bless those Toms for dying. Maybe they're not dead. Maybe they just have their legs amputated. Maybe it's just a bunch of Lieutenant Dans rolling around going, like Weebles. Sort of wobbling around.
Weebles wobbles, but they don't fall down.
They don't. They don't have any legs anymore.
Oh, gosh.
All right, everybody. Oh, thanks a lot for tuning in. Hopefully next week we're going to be doing some in-depth. I haven't talked to Jeremy about it, so I don't really know if it'll happen. But hopefully it will. And then the show after that, it's going to be Beverly talking about why she cannot stand Disneyland anymore, and she's going to try to burn it down. Something like that.
Dang.
Pretty much, yeah. That's, I actually don't even need to do the show anymore. You just did it
for I'll just play that soundbite on repeat.
Perfect.
All right, everybody. Thanks a lot for tuning in. I appreciate it. Until next time, see you in the parks.